be back there, and then the teams can go back there and practice also, and not, you know, have it a little more quiet, because that driving range is so busy. People are out there all the time. It's pretty nice. I mean, it's just one of the best. Maybe the best in the state.
Of course, I liked it when it used to be you could just take your own bucket of balls and go out there and practice.
I know, it's, you know, that,
yeah,
part,
that was nice.
Isn't
I like
funny?
That.
Over on the other side, you go over there, and then when we would have golf camp, we would use the east side, but
right.
Just, you know, we'd have to get our own golf balls and stuff like that, and the kids would have to go out and pick them up. And they'd say, well, why do we have to pick them up? I said, that's just part of the game. Pick up your own golf ball. But it was interesting. And then on the west side, you could just have your own balls and go out and hit.
Yeah.
And so now they've got that wonderful short game facility. So I think they really have done a superb job.
Was there any connection with the turfgrass research?
I don't think at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think they just did it, you know, on their own, but maybe after Arthur Hills was in, they might have relied a little bit more on turfgrass, which would be a good idea because of they're such experts in the field. But I think we've just got a wonderful, I would say a complete, as soon as the pro shop is going to be changed, then that building, I don't know if you're aware of it, but that building is going to go to the men's and women's golf teams, and then they're going to remodel so that they have their facilities there. They'll have a little practice area. I think they'll enclose the what do I want to call it? The connection, you know, where they have the, you know, they can have dinners and stuff and lunches in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's going to be quite a project. There's a fundraising project going on right now for that. But I think it's pretty complete. It's great for recruiting. I mean, it's wonderful to have a facility like we have. When kids see that and of course the Clara Bell Smith Academic Center, those are big, big things when young people come in and want to see, because a lot of kids, you know, the whole idea was, well, if you really want to be a good golfer, you got to go south. Well, that's not true. And a lot of kids find that they get worn out, burned out if they are playing day in and day out, and it's better for their overall education, golf-wise, to play in the north. I mean, it's just a different ball game because of the grass, heavy rough, things like that. Playing in the south, you know, you just hit the ball, it rolls forever. So it's just different. It's almost like a different game that you have to acclimate yourself to. But I think it's good, and we found that there's so many really fine players that that do want to stay up north because they want to be closer to their families. They want a better education, and they certainly can get that here.
How has recruiting changed over the years from when you first came to what it is like now?
I think probably we didn't really do a lot of recruiting. I didn't really go out to homes all that much, maybe a handful of young people. They would come to the campus because I thought that was more impressive to see what we have here rather than go into a home, but you are allowed to do both. But I think probably because I know for Stacy, with all her energy and being single, and so she just got married 2 weeks ago, but she went to all the national junior tournaments so that people knew she was there and that she was interested. And I think that makes a big difference. I, on the other hand, I was a little more reluctant to not go a lot of places. I'd go, if I was going to be in Florida, I would go and see a junior tournament, but I didn't make that extra effort, really, because I have my family at home, and I just didn't want to leave them all that much. So I'd go to the junior tournaments in Michigan. I would, and of course, fortunately, we had the state women's high school tournament right at Forest Acres. I mean, so that, you'd always get a chance to see on your own turf the best players in the state of Michigan. And so that was always very helpful. But I think now it's gone beyond that. It's going to go beyond a lot of foreign players coming in now. And like even in Canada, there's some fine golfers up in Canada. So, as far as I know, Stacy's she has a wonderful team coming in for next year. And then beyond that, it's just that you just never relax. You always have to look ahead and make sure that if you graduate, you've got a couple of really good blue chip kids coming in. But now with the ability to offer full scholarships, I think it's easier maybe because there is money now for the young people that deserve it.
What about working relationships with other coaches around the league as well as at the university? How have you found that?
Wonderful. I think probably the Big Ten coaches were as tight as any coaches could be. We would not all see each other all the time, but usually every tournament we went to, there were several of us there, if we were out of our region. But if it was a tournament within the region, then we were all there. Couldn't wait to see one another. And actually, it got to be that way with some, you know, favorite coaches from, like Kentucky was always a very favorite coach of ours, and Cincinnati and down in Florida. So there were just favorite people that you look forward to seeing. But I think basically the coaches got along really well. Look forward to the convention every year so that you could see old friends. I have to say the Big Ten coaches were outstanding and fun, but competitive. I mean, they wanted to win as much as I wanted to win. I didn't like to lose. I still don't like to lose. I'm terrible. And Bruce is just like my dad used to be. He said, you know, you really have to recognize the talent in other teams. Because we were Green Bay Packer fans, went to the games, and I was just awful. And he'd say, but look at what a good play that was. This is my dad talking to me. No, I didn't want to recognize that. I wouldn't admit it. And then Bruce says the same thing. Well, they're such good players. You don't want to root against them. You'd be surprised. So anyway, I am very competitive.
Over the last several decades, the administration and athletic department has been in the news a great deal. How has this affected the operation of women's golf in general, and maybe your work in particular?
In what regard?
Well, talk about some of the athletic directors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you started with Biggie Munn, so mm-hmm. You can go from there.
We've gone through a lot, and it just seems that no matter what, we go ahead and we do our job and try not to get caught up in the politics of it, because I think it's really hard to do a good job. I know before I retired that after we'd have a coaches meeting and then the administrators would leave, we'd just kind of sit around and talk about things that we thought, you know, we should see some changes possibly, or something that we could do a better job. But we wanted to do it just by ourselves. They're still here at Michigan State. Wonderful, wonderful people. I think of Joe Baum. Oh my goodness. You know what a great guy he is, and he's been here for so long. And just a great person. Fair, wonderful. Rich Kimball was always such a great friend of mine too. And now I don't even see him. But he's very happy with what he's doing, I think, as an athletic director at a high school. He's just very pleased. But I look back on it, I know there were a lot of times we were just mortified with some of the things that happened, but there's nothing you can do about it. And you don't want it to affect your performance as a coach. You don't want to have it affect your team. And so you got to put it aside a little bit. You just can't let things like that happen. Some of the firings, I don't know.
Were there any of the athletic directors that were particularly supportive of women's athletics?
Well, I think they all were, really. When you really think about it, Biggie was the one that wanted to get it started. Mm-hmm. And then I think Bert was next, Bert Smith.
Right.
Yeah. And Doug Weaver, he was always very good to us. So then you go, and Joe Kearney might have been the best. I mean, I hate to, because they were all good friends, things like that, but I think maybe Joe might have been one of the most supportive people. And he He was very well liked. And George Perlis. He was a wonderful athletic director, even though he was not there very long. But as far as support, any kind of support, moral support, whatever he could do, and I think the coaches as a whole felt that he conducted himself as an athletic director in a first-class manner. And of course, Clarence, he's just a great guy. But see, as far as administratively or this or that, I wouldn't really want to get into that, too much.
How did you work with Gwen Norrell?
Oh, she was wonderful. She is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love her. I really do. She was just a great person, and she could get the job done. She really was, because she was really on the ground floor with women coming into athletics, into administration. I think she was the first to do a lot of things as she was a faculty rep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think she was just great. And as I say, still is, though I don't get to see her very much, but she's a great gal.
We talked, when I interviewed her, we talked at length about the relationship between the AIAW and NCAA and how she took a lot of flack from women in the AIAW, and more than the men, and the men were supporting her in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
What was your position on the relationship between the AIAW and NCAA? Was that a good switch for women's golf?
Well, it had to be. It was going to happen at some time, but there were a number of women that were kind of in charge of AIAW that it was maybe a little harder to deal with, and they were really dragging their feet because they wanted to keep it separate instead of, working together. But I think it was inevitable that it was going to happen. Maybe, it was almost like the men would say they didn't want the women say the men don't want us, but basically the women really did not want to go in, I didn't think, to the NCAA. I should say not all of them, but some of them that were influential. They wanted to keep it separate, but they just couldn't really afford to. I mean, they didn't have the kind of financial backing that the NCAA or the Big Ten could provide. I mean, it's the structure is so different. And but when we were in the AIAW, we were happy to be in the AIAW. And we hosted the tournament in 1976. Here at Michigan State. That was a big highlight. And so we had a lot of good things happen, but if you're going to make progress, then you have to come together a little bit and your ideas. But they, I think there are probably still some places. I think Iowa and Minnesota still have separate athletic they have a women's athletic department and a men's athletic department. I can't think of Christine's last name, but anyway, they've kind of kept it separate, and for whatever their reason is, that it works for them. So I think sometimes you just have to, not always question. If you have a voice in something, I think to me the biggest thing was that we used to have differences of opinion with Southern coaches. They thought we didn't play golf in the North. And we always had a difficult time convincing them that we could play and should play. Our philosophy was let as many people play as we can, count in, which we always played 6-4. They played 5-4. They thought we were taking an unfair advantage because we were having 6 people play. Our Big Ten is still play 6-4. So we haven't changed that. It may have to change. The men went from playing 6-4, now they always play 5, I think, and 4. But things like that, it's just like the more opportunity that young people have to compete, the better they're going to be and can become better players. That was the other thing about players going down to the South and play at some Southern school was our thing was, if you stay here and play, you'll play. If you go down in the South, you might ride the pines, literally. You might be on the team, but never get to compete. And you, if you're ever going to really do something with your game, you have to compete. You just can't practice all the time. So that was, you know, we had to have little things like that that we'd throw in, why they should stay up north and play golf. And it was amazing. Sometimes we'd have girls from the south that would come up into the north. We had a young lady from Florida that came up and played for a year, and but her mom got ill and then she had to go back home again. But it usually did not happen. We usually recruited mostly in Michigan and Indiana. We had a little pipeline into Indiana, so we got some really fine golfers out of Indiana. And a couple from Ohio, maybe one or two from Wisconsin. So we pretty much, it was a Midwestern recruiting group.
How did you balance the tension between academics and athletics for your student athletes?
Well, there wasn't the tension. We had rules. In other words, we could only miss so many days of school. At first it was in the quarter system, and then it was a semester, but you couldn't miss any more days of school than that. They were always told that they had to go to their professors if they were going to miss, say, like a Friday, and stay in communication with their professors so that they knew they were going to be missing something, and could they make it up or take it early, one or the other. I can remember at one time I gave two girls an exam because they had to take it on a certain day and they were going to be out of town. So I think, I would say most of the professors were pretty understanding. I think now they have more tutors. They have more academic help than they did originally. Not saying anything negative about the academic part of it, but now I think it's much more organized. And I think that probably we would have to go in, our young people had to go in all the time and speak to a tutor, but I think at times we've had not the best tutors in the world. And there was definitely some time where there was tension with that because they were getting the wrong information to our students, to our golfers. And that was the only tension that I can really remember, that getting inaccurate information and the kids being smart enough to go ahead and get the right information. But I don't think that happens anymore. I think that the people that are in charge are, you know, do a better job. Okay, I'm babbling now.
Were there, you mentioned some of the athletes that you had that turned pro.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any special pressures that affected your ability to keep players here? Obviously the LPGA was an attraction, or did you find that most of those that you had stayed the full term, or?
We had very, very few that dropped out early. Some of the girls that were on the team that didn't get to play, but I tell them that we'd have playoffs, that you're involved in the playoff. They were not good enough players, and they recognized that, because I didn't want to say you're not good enough. I said but you have to prove that you deserve to be on the team and to be able to contribute. I said it's a two-way street. I'll do whatever I can for you, but then you in turn have to do for the team. And that means to try to be the best student and the best athlete that you can be. So there were some that would, maybe for their last 2 years, they knew they weren't going to play, and they would transfer and finish their education someplace else, closer to home. But it wasn't a matter of, well, we're going to leave school early so that we can turn pro. I think there's only one person that did that. That was my only major conflict. In all the years of coaching, that I kicked one person off the team. And she said, I knew this was coming, so I just withdrew from the university already, because I told her that she had to come to the house and on Monday morning. It was after a tournament. And so she knew what it was, because I'd been warning her. I said, don't do this. Don't do it. You're pushing me. And I'm pretty laid back. And so I told her then that she was no longer welcome on the team. She said, oh, I knew that. So she said, I'm gone. She went down to Florida. But and she did make something of herself, so that was fine. So it wasn't, but she was a smart kid. Oh my goodness, she was smart. But she just kind of tried to always push you as far as she could. And that's not good for the rest of the team. But that was only one incident.
Do you have any feelings, or I guess, how would you evaluate Peter McPherson, who was the last president who was here when you were coach? He came about 5 years before you retired. What's his impact been on the program?
Well, I think it's a positive one. I think he's very supportive of everything that the women are doing. I know for Stacy and the team, he had a reception at the house, he and Joanne, and had their parents come. So he's totally in tune with what they're doing. I think sometimes your administrators and your key people are so busy administrating that they don't read the paper and don't know what's going on in the sporting world, because everybody's not as interested in athletics as we are. But I think Peter has been wonderful. A wonderful leader.
In looking back on your years as coach, is there anything you can say that is a legacy that you've given to women's golf here at Michigan State?
Well, I don't know about legacies and things like that. All I think that what we tried to do is establish a fine group of young people who played hard, were honest, worked hard, got their degrees, and Stacy has carried that through. I can't tell you how many times she writes letters about how much help that Bruce and I have been to her to help her be a better coach, better person. I mean, she's like one of our family. And having her as my assistant for 2 years, and then she was on her own after I retired, and what a wonderful job she has done. But I think basically is just getting a program started that has progressed and flourished and been successful. I think that's the nice thing, because it had to get started sometime, and I guess I feel like I was in the right place at the right time to have been a part of the development of women's athletics.
And also the issue of longevity.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot of years.
Stacy's funny. She said, "Here, it's my fourth year." She said, "I'm only the second coach I've ever had since the '70s." So, it's nice. And I think being around young people is so energizing. I mean, our grandkids love the kids on the golf team, and they're so receptive to having the young ones around. It's very nice.
What have been your contacts since retirement?
Well, I haven't gone out of town to watch them, though I do watch Jen. I've tried to watch her play in a couple futures tournaments. I went down to Ann Arbor a month ago and watched her play. But as far as the current team, I see them, but you know, not on a regular basis. I took them down to Florida a couple of years ago when we were in the Final Four in '99. And it just happened to be the same weekend because Stacy had to be in a wedding, so I took the kids down and we went to the game. We were able to get to the game, so it was like last minute thing. But so I've been pretty close to the kids, because at that time there were still kids that I had recruited. Mm-hmm. And then the year that Casey Gant came in, that was really like my last recruit, but I had known her dad when he played in college. And so that was really fun to have recruited her. And they said, "Well, you can't retire." I said, "Yes, I can. I got to retire sometime." So I don't know what the question was.
Oh, I think you answered it.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project for the time you spent and also your insights. We really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I know I'm going to get home and I'll think, "Well, I forgot. You know, I should talk about that a little bit." But it's been a great thing for our family, and I love Michigan State. I love it. So he said, "Do you ever wear anything besides green?" And I said, "No." It's funny that they'll say, "Well, what's in your closet?" It's like, green.
Green and white.
Isn't it funny? I mean, it's just like, you know, my grandkids, they're terrible. I said, "Because I never wear blue." And if they ever have anything blue on, and then they'll say, well, Grandma, but there isn't any yellow with it, so. They all learn the fight song when they were 2 years old. And they go, you know, we take them to football and hockey and basketball. And I just, it's a great atmosphere. We have wonderful people.
And you started them out early in golf, too.
Well, and they can't swing a club very well. Bobby's little boy can swing it pretty well, but now he's into soccer and something else. And so, and of course, our daughter Terry still works at Michigan State. 21 years. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. She's been with Ralph Young. Mm-hmm. Is it TT? Kids all call her, the grandkids call her TT. Mm-hmm. So I call her the TT. If I ever say Terry, she says, what is the matter with you? Or what have I done wrong?
Yeah.
Or something like that. But, you know, the whole association has just been grand. I can remember when Bruce, when they fired Forty Anderson, then they wanted to reassign the other coaches. And Bruce had an opportunity to do two things. One was go into business back in Wisconsin, and then the other one was to coach at one of the smaller schools in Wisconsin. And he's such a good coach. And it was I remember Terry saying this too, that she didn't want, and her sister said the same thing, we don't want to have Daddy go backwards, you know, back to Wisconsin. It's like sometimes they say you can't go home. But we were both from Wisconsin, and we always loved it there. But, you know, they and I loved it here. So when they asked him to take over the golf program, then he did that. And more doors opened for him. Like, he wrote a couple books, and he was president of the, he'll tell you, you know, some of the stuff. But there are just a lot of good things that happened to him in golf. But I always said, with being such a good basketball coach, well, he was an official, so he refereed, and he coached his sons and the Oaks and things like that. So he still did some basketball stuff, but he didn't play anymore, and because he played at Wisconsin. But we've had some great experiences. I would not want to go anyplace else. This is what's funny, after I retired, because Bruce had retired quite a bit earlier, and somebody said to me, well, where are you going to live? I said, right in the same little house we've lived in for 39 years. I wouldn't want to go and move down to Florida or move any place. There's too much going on here. It's, you know, if it isn't sports, it's the arts, whatever you want to do. It's just a wonderful place to be. I'm glad I'm here, except I can't find my way around anymore. Isn't that the funniest thing, though? You know, I came in the old way, and it was like, oh, I guess I can't go down here. I'm not going to have to go down here. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that funny that it does? And it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. One thing that I didn't say is when we first came, Dr. Hannah was president. I think probably he was the most, he was the strongest. I can't even find the word to describe him right now as far as the kind of a person we thought he was. We just thought he was a wonderful wonderful prison. And the first story was that Dr. Hanna wouldn't always get the appropriations for a building, but he'd always have the hole dug. And then as soon as the funds came in, he'd get the building up and then the landscaping around it. I mean, it was just like that. But he was very impressive. He and his wife both were very, very nice.
Well, thank you again.
Well, you want to get rid of me?
No.
I don't blame you. Man, I hope that you can get something out of that. Holy mackerel.
Thank you.